Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios.
That's right, the beautiful Buckhead Friday afternoon, or Friday morning, I should say, 11 a.m. It's my favorite day of the week, once again, where we feature industry professionals and spotlight the good work they're doing in the community here on Georgia Business Radio. I'm your host, Ryan McPherson, seated alongside my producer, engineer, mentor, and spiritual advisor, Mr. Rich Casanova.
And window washer, yeah. Spiritual advisor, wow. Just got a promotion.
That's right. Yeah, nice. You're always keeping me pointed the straight and narrow and you know, doing good things. So thanks for joining us here today in the studio.
Yeah, and my fees, once again, are $1.50, so just keep that in mind, yeah.
I'll put that on the tab there. Right. So
We've got a great show here this morning.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, we always say before the show, we kind of go over some of our guests and kind of, you know, sometimes are looking to see the connection, but we found that we have a great connection between our guests here today. We have two representatives from the healthcare industry and home health industry, and then a business broker over here that we're going to talk to who has some insights into that as well.
So, yeah, I think he has some deals coming up in that arena, yeah.
Yeah, well, so we'll get into the nitty-gritty here in just a moment, but first let me introduce, he is from Murphy Business Mergers Acquisitions. His name is Matt Slappy, and he's an M&A advisor. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Ryan.
Good. And you're an Atlanta native, right?
That's right. Born and raised in Atlanta. And by the way, Rich, the windows look great.
Thank you very much.
And what will you be sharing?
Finally, I got a compliment on my windows. Yeah, I've been working on that.
All day. What were you going to be sharing with our listeners today, particularly about Murphy Business?
Well, I just think it's important for listeners to know that when business owners own a business that's worth, you know, many millions of dollars and they're not exactly sure how to value it or sell it or what their options are, that there are people they can talk to that understand different avenues to take when it's time to divest themselves.
All right. Look forward to hearing about that. Please welcome to the show also Kate Gorenstein. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
And you are with?
MedSite Home Health.
MedSite Home Health. And what is your role over there?
I'm a marketing liaison.
Okay.
For the company.
All right. And you'll be getting to a little more details about how you're marketing MedSite and some of the things you're doing for the community as well?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. And also with MedSite Home Health is Michael Gaudette. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And you will be sharing with our listeners more also, same as Kate?
Exactly. Yeah. We both do marketing with MedSite.
Okay.
We cover the metro area.
Okay. And you got a big marketing department over there, I imagine, right?
Well, not real big, but we're on the road and we're running hard.
Okay. And you guys are based in Atlanta, Georgia, right?
We are, yes.
Good. And how long have y'all been in business?
We've been in business about 21 years now.
Okay. So a good homegrown 21-year-old business. We love to promote that here on Georgia Business Radio.
So. And I know we're going to get into your full interview in a minute after Matt here, but what's not elevator pitch, but what's for folks that may have never heard of MedSite, what's your claim to fame or services?
We do two different things specifically. Home health, which is skilled care, nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. And then we also do home care, which is people who just need a little bit of assistance throughout the day. So those are the two areas that we cover the most.
Okay.
Well, good. Yeah, so good services you're providing there. All right, let's jump right into it with Mr. Matt Slappy. Like he mentioned before, he's an Atlanta native, provides solutions to business owners and those seeking to buy a business. Matt specializes in working with businesses with revenues between $1 million and $50 million. The size business is below the threshold of most investment bankers and more complex than the average business broker can handle. Matt has been ranked top 10% nationally in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, and is president of the Georgia Business Association of Business Brokers, 2013. In March of 2015, was recognized as number one producing Murphy office in the United States out of over 200 offices.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's a great congratulations. Success story right there.
Thank you.
What's your secret?
Yeah.
Working hard and trying to do the right thing.
All right, right. So you were born and raised right here in Atlanta. What part of town?
That's right. I was actually born in Emory when they were delivering babies back in the 60s.
All right. And then did you go to school here locally as well?
Yeah, I went to Lakeside High School.
Okay.
And then I went one state over for college at Presbyterian College.
And then came back to the Atlanta area.
Came back, married a native Atlantean lady.
Okay.
Who went to, grew up in Lithonia, went to Woodward Academy. And so and raising three daughters here that are Atlantan. Oh. So we're Atlanta natives. Matter of fact, this year my family's been in Georgia for 300 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, gotta love that.
Wow.
Neat little interesting.
You look great. You look great for 300.
Thank you. It's the windows.
It's the windows. Well, I can feel the connection there. I am a third generation Atlantan myself. My dad and granddad grew up in Decatur. I grew up over here in Brookhaven. So I love the tradition here. I love the city. I've moved away a few times only to come back. And one of the great things about Georgia Business Radio is we promote those folks who love the state, who grew up here, and are continuing to evolve business here in the city of Atlanta particularly. So
that's right, because we have a great city to do business in.
No doubt about it. It's growing each and every year. I mean, over the last 10 years, 20 years or so particularly, I mean, we keep doubling in size. So
that's right. And not is it just Atlanta. I mean, take Brookhaven for an example. I mean, Brookhaven is an awesome place where people want to come do business. Mm-hmm. They got a great city center kind of evolving and it having its own little new municipality.
Yep.
Is helping things be pretty easy. So it's not just the big city, it's all the small cities too.
No, when I grew up there, was just a neighborhood, just a you know, always had Brookhaven unincorporated on
that's
the
right.
sign. And now we are incorporated and doing good things there. So how is the business broker service here in Atlanta?
You know, business is great in Atlanta for people wanting to buy and sell businesses for two reasons. You've got a lot of buyers in the market right now because a lot of people have seen their values of their portfolios go back up. There's a lot of private equity money looking to invest in the right business opportunity. And at the same time, we have this generation of baby boomers who have owned businesses for a lot of years, and they're starting to approach that 65, 70-year-old age. I mean, the same people that MedSide's going to be servicing here over the next couple of years are the same people I'm talking to today mm-hmm. as they consider a retirement.
So that's not just the people who are looking to buy a business, but perhaps someone who's getting out of the business as well and wants to, you know, return on their investment from all those years in business, right?
Absolutely. And we have lots of business owners and their families don't really want to continue operating that business. And so mom and dad have decided they need to sell this company. And now it's time to turn that into a big liquid investment that goes toward their retirement.
So what makes you different from someone who wants to buy into a franchise or somebody who just wants to buy into a small business? Well, you know, and you said you only deal with $1 million or up.
Well, that's a great question. So I would not want to downplay at all the value of franchises because they're excellent business opportunities for a lot of people. But the primary difference is I sell typically ongoing companies. And so the fact that when somebody buys that business, they know that the next day there's money coming in. We have customers walking in the door or orders being received from overseas. A franchise is something when you start up for relatively low capital, you don't really get a big return on that for the first 6 to 12 months. You have to grow it yourself. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you opened a Brewster's
yeah.
and you bought it, you don't have customers day one. They'll show up over the next couple months.
Right. Now, I'm a former franchise owner. I owned and operated one for about 5 years or so, but ultimately got out of the business because it just wasn't what I expected before I went in. And I only imagine, you know, that may happen to you as well. People think they want to go into business, perhaps have some money to invest, but then find out a few years later that it's a tough road to climb, right?
It is very difficult. I try to not let that be the case for my clients. And really, half my role up front, if I'm going to advise buyers, is I'm a little bit of a family psychologist. Because unless both husband and wife are on board and they understand the risks involved and that they're going to have to put a second mortgage on the home and it's possible that they lose it, unless they're fully aware of all that, they don't make very good buyers for me because I think people need to be really informed.
So do you try to find those niche businesses that, you know, fits the role of what they're looking for, particularly not just saying they just have money because they want to invest, but you got to find that business that's going to fit their lifestyle, their passions, that sort of thing. So
right. Well, that's really difficult to do. And Ryan, honestly, I don't take a lot of clients on who just say, I want to buy a business, but I'm not sure what I want. I want something kind of small and cozy and mm-hmm. defendable market positions. If somebody knows exactly what they're looking for a business expansion, I can definitely be their guy, but I try to shy away and tell people they're not ready to buy when they have no idea what they want to buy.
So who are these folks that are buying businesses valued at $50 million?
So we have two different groups in Atlanta that buy businesses all the time like this. You have some relatively wealthy individuals, and there might be a former executive from an Atlanta company or something. They've got $3 to $5 million they might want to put down into a business. Well, they could leverage that in with a little bit of bank debt to probably buy in a company that's going to make them $2 or $3 million every year. On top of that, and just the spectrum above that and north, are all the other companies that want to grow through acquiring. So if you own a company that makes, just looking at water bottles, because mm-hmm. we're looking at them here in the studio, the best way to grow their sales by $10 million is probably not to buy or hire new salespeople. It's to go buy a company that's doing $10 million of revenue selling water bottles. And so they want to grow that way because they can grow faster and have quicker returns for their shareholders. And then the last group is the private equity groups. And there are thousands of private equity groups in the United States with billions, literally billions, maybe trillions of dollars ready to invest for the right business opportunities.
So if I'm trying to exit a big-time business and wanting to sell, but I don't want to scare the employees, I don't want to put everybody on alert that, you know, an ownership change may be happening, how does that whole process work?
Well, that's a great question. That's one of the main worries that most business owners have is what about the employees and what about my family members in the business, things like that, that are really important. And typically when we sell a company, the employees, the customers, and the employees do not know, and the competitors do not know that the business is on the market. So we do our entire process in total in a total confidential manner, and so that nobody knows what's going on until it's a done deal, because sometimes it doesn't work out, and there's typically no good reason to cause a lot of angst in the employees when 99% of the time, they're all going to keep their job anyway.
Right. So you don't have a business broker on the side of your car, and you drive up to the company over there, and everybody says, what's he doing here?
Absolutely not.
Right. So yeah, you're just another guy in the office having a conversation, right. Yeah, and keeping things confidential, so not to stir the pot or make people upset who may decide, I need to jump ship right away, go find a new job, or worry about their future. So that's not your role. Your role is to make it transition smoothly, effectively, but then have that new owner continue business as usual.
That's right. And my role really is to help the owner who's hired these people who have really made their entire company what it is today, to help the owner achieve liquidity in their business, but also help them feel comfortable that they've hired the right talent and those people are going to be okay. And many times we negotiate that into the transaction. Mm-hmm. If they've got four or five key employees that have built this business, they can either get paid as part of the transaction or they can be guaranteed employment contracts for a couple of years so that owner can know that he or she did the right thing for those employees.
And how are these business valued? What are the things you look at to add that value or to determine that value?
Well, a lot of people will give you a different number for the valuation of the same business 10 different times. Unfortunately, people that sell their business lie about what they sold it for. So the best way to understand the value of the business is based on profitability of that business. Okay. And understanding how profitable it really is in the way of net income, not really revenue. But revenue does take, it is an important consideration when you're looking at businesses like tech companies, managed services where they might have a lot of recurring revenue, or a law firm or dental practice. Most professional practices would do revenue, but everybody else is typically some sort of multiple based on their earnings.
Mm-hmm. I worked for an advertising company here in Atlanta for years. The guy who owned the business ended up selling it for big money and left. They brought in all new leadership and nobody liked it. I ended up leaving there and then found out years later the guy who had sold the business was bored with life, and he was only in his mid-40s, came back to work at the advertising company just because he was looking for something to do, but kept all that money in his pocket. So it was always and some of those folks are still working there now, but the business, as it grows, you kind of get big dreams or think you can just sell out and retire and live on an island somewhere, but that's not always the case either, right?
Well, that's right, and what surprises a lot of people is not only can you not retire on the island, but unfortunately they wait too late to get their business valued or try to understand what it's really worth. And if they think it's worth $20 million and it's really worth $10 million, clearly that makes a big difference in their retirement plans. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they don't always consider is what is the IRS's role after the sale of their business. And the taxes can be anywhere from 10% to 70% on the sale of the business. Oh, and really? So one of the things I really like to work with is clients and their tax issues so we can minimize that. And that clearly can make or break a deal.
So say I'm a small town radio station owner and I want to sell. How do I know it's the right time?
Well, the right time to sell is when you have multiple people interested in your business, because competition breeds a higher price. Huh. So the better your business is from a financial perspective and the more interest you can get, it's the best time. And also you have a lot of business owners who are approached by somebody that's actually a good buyer. And it makes sense why they might want to sell to this big competitor, this big strategic company. But they don't actually put the company out on the market with somebody like myself, so they lose the ability to have competition. And sometimes they settle for a lower price. They might have been able to get 10 or 20% more for the business.
Okay, and if you want to find a reputable, experienced business broker like yourself, how do they find you? And how do you know who's a good one, who's not? Or, you're not just taking, an ad out of the paper, so to speak.
Right, well, I would say check references and quality M&A advisors should have a long list of happy clients and of attorneys and accountants they've worked with that know that that's a quality person that can actually bring value to the deal.
Right. So you want to do your research before they entrust a guy like you or anyone else that makes sure that, this guy can do what he says.
Absolutely. Because you shouldn't trust your retirement with somebody that you don't know.
And that's what it is. And then once, let's say you've sold the business and you've kind of walked them through the entire deal. Do you provide any follow-up services for them, or are you just, you're kind of on your way afterwards?
Well, it depends on the transaction, but I can certainly provide follow-up services. One of my favorite things to do is to understand what my seller wants to do. Maybe they got the great offer now, but they don't want to retire for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So we'll set up a deal where they work full-time for the next 6 months, and then they work Mondays and Wednesdays for 6 months, and then after that, the final year, they're just taking some phone calls from the golf course.
Right.
And it works themselves into a retirement, because it's very difficult for somebody that worked 40 or 50 hours a week their whole life to hand the keys over, and the next day they're not needed. It hurts their ego, kind of, you know, it does a lot. Plus, many times, the spouse is not ready for that full-time associate in the house yet. It takes a little time for a transition. It really is a life-changing event.
No, you know, no doubt about it. If you're used to working all those hours and being in the office consistently, and then all of a sudden you've got all this free time, it can be a little confusing to be searching for
that's
things
right.
to do with your time. So that's a great idea, is to transition slowly, maybe give the reins over to someone else, you know, keep the company going, but only coming in to help support the mission along those ways. Now, do you only do business here in Atlanta, or how about the state of Georgia, the Southeast? What's your kind of your...
Typically anywhere in the Southeast.
Anywhere in the Southeast. So you may be a South Georgia guy looking to sell, you know, your peanut farm, you
absolutely.
Know, something like that. Or you may be a tech business here in the Atlanta area, which is big, by the way, these days. You know, the technology is huge.
Tech business is booming, and Atlanta should be very proud of that.
Yeah, and the startups, any footprint over there that you, for yourself?
You know, I don't work with a lot of startup companies, except I might give some early on advisory services to mm-hmm. say, hey, think about doing this and that, and just give them some lesson learned about what to do when they turn into a big company. Mm-hmm. But I would say that Atlanta is a great company for people starting businesses, especially in the tech industry. We got some great development centers around there doing great work.
Must be, because you're ranked in the top 10% nationally consistently over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm proud of that. I mean, I work really hard to make my clients happy and to be able to, you know, at the end of the day, achieve their goal. And so when that works, then I achieve mine. And so my reputation is everything, as you know, in business world, especially in Atlanta. You know, Georgia is still a little bit of country, right? And so your reputation means everything. With a last name like Slappy, it better make it good, because people are going to remember it one way or the other.
That's true. And so you were the president of the Georgia Association of Business Brokers 2013. Is that a big association?
We've got about 100 probably broker members, and then maybe 50 or 60 kind of affiliate members that are bankers and attorneys and things like that. So I was honored to be in the group, and I'm so honored to be a member of the group. And I just find myself doing a lot of M&A work.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to be.
Do you guys meet regularly? Or
yeah, we have monthly meetings over at South Terraces at Perimeter Center.
Okay.
And then we have an annual educational conference as well.
I bet that's a wild time over there. business brokers getting together, man.
Yeah. I thought he said MMA. It's not martial arts.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you would think a transaction is an MMA event. Because
right.
when you're arguing over a couple million bucks, or who's doing this or who's doing that, it can feel a little bit that way.
So, Matt, how do we get people to knock on our door to buy our studio for 50? I'd take less than 50 million. What do you think, Ryan?
Somewhere around in the neighborhood. Yeah.
Stand firm, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Any other questions, Rich?
I've been just doing some social media and photographs, and maybe our best looking crowd so far this morning.
Hey, you gotta love it.
Yeah. Got a great face for radio.
Thank you. Yeah, but no, it's intriguing, and I mean, for listeners considering you know, this transaction. I mean, just looking at the awards he's won, I mean, I'm still kind of dumbfounded and impressed by this. In March, just last month, recognized number one producing Murphy office in the U.S., over 200 offices right here.
Yeah.
Why go any further?
Yeah. Right. Well, what do you test that to? Is the Atlanta market, or is it just the business is good these days?
Yeah. So I attest that to business really picking up and doing well. And also to the fact that once you are known to be good in a certain area, it helps kind of evolve more business leads for you. I'm 100% referral.
Okay.
And so people call me. I was able to work on a transaction last year where we merged three tech companies into combined revenues of about $150 million.
Oh, wow.
And so while it might sound small for a small company that's worth $10 or $20 million to be a piece of that, the end result are really big companies are providing a lot of jobs and a lot of income for a lot of families. And so it really does impact the state. And I like that.
A quick follow-up question. I was at UPS headquarters last night. They had a Kettering. I don't know if you're familiar with the Kettering organization. It's Kettering, they abbreviate KEN, but networking event. And they're all top-level C-level executives that have all been kind of misplaced or downsized, or where these companies are emerging, right? And now they're, like you said, in their retirement years, but looking for the next big thing. And that's probably, I don't know if you deal with some of those folks, but
absolutely.
Where they really haven't been in business before, but you know, maybe the outlook, they're not looking to start a new career at age, you know, 48 or 50 or 52.
Absolutely. I see it all the time. So they'll come to me. It might be a displaced corporate executive,
right.
or they're burned out of all the travel on an airplane 4 or 5 days a week. And they have sizable investment
they've
kind of accumulated, and they want to work for themselves. And the other thing is people that actually retire at 65, there is a set that says, I'm not retiring. So instead of working for Coca-Cola anymore, right, or Delta, I'm actually going to start my own company or buy one. So we actually see more buyers sometimes at that age than we've ever seen before.
I mean, that's my goal, is to grow up one day and just be semi-retired. I can't, if you're just retired, I mean, it's like you're kind of throwing in the towel, you know,
right,
in my mind. But I guess it's different for people that more of a, have worked for companies. They look forward to, you know, just sitting on the porch on their rocker drinking lemonade. But I need to be kind of out there doing something.
That's right. And when those people try to decide what they want to buy, and Ryan asked me a question about this earlier about, you know, what do you counsel them on? Well, one of the most important things to do is to sit at home with your spouse or significant other and just say, what don't I want? I don't want a business where I have to work weekends. I don't want a business that's open at night. I don't want something where I worry about cash walking out the door. Right. You can have kind of a list of things that helps you refine the type of business you actually do want by asking, you know, yourself and your spouse what you don't want.
Well, good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So if you're looking to buy a business or you're looking to sell your business, contact Max Slappy. How would they do that?
They can just give me a call directly here in Atlanta at 404-486-0350, or they can just find me on the web at Matt Slappy, that's S-L-A-P-P-E-Y, -Murphy.com.
And I see you're on LinkedIn. Folks can find you there as
that's
well.
Right. That's right.
So just put that Matt Slappy name in that search box, and you will get connected with him. So thanks very much for joining us. You mind sticking around a little bit here?
I'd love to, Ryan.
All right, as we introduce and talk to our next guests, first let me introduce Kate Gorenstein. She is marketing liaison with MedSide Home Healthcare. She's been working in the metro area for over 16 years, primarily in the Buckhead area. For 10 years, Kate ran her own small business of medical deliveries. From there, she moved into a role in the international finance, and now she is happily back in the healthcare industry as a marketing liaison for MedSide Healthcare. MedSide Healthcare provides a range of services such as home health, skilled medical services at home care, personal assistance at home, transportation, adult daycare, and now open MedSide University, which allows nurses with a bachelor's degree to get master's of healthcare administration utilizing grant money. She works on a daily basis with families and providers, medical offices, hospitals, rehabilitation centers, and similar healthcare organizations that allows her knowledgeable with current healthcare challenges. Kate was born in Russia and at the age of 15 moved to Israel, where she finished high school and has been in the Atlanta area since 1998. Well, welcome to the Buckhead Radio X studios.
Good to be here.
And so you've got quite an extensive background, small business owner, healthcare industry, a mother, and a business liaison. So tell me about MedSide Healthcare and what are the good work you're doing over there.
Well, MedSide is an Atlanta company that's been in business for 21 years, providing services that range from home health, which is a skilled services at home. Usually when people leave hospitals, they may still need some physical therapy, occupational therapy, or they may have some wounds that need to be addressed by skilled people. And that's where MedSide can step in. The hospital or the doctor office would refer a patient, and we would come out and take care of whatever needs the patient might have. Usually those services are covered through insurances. MedSide is one of the providers that take almost every insurance that's out there. So that's what we do on a skilled side. We also have home care services. Those are personal care services, home aid services that we provide. Those can be on private pay basis or through Medicaid. If there is somebody out there who is eligible or had Medicaid and cannot handle daily routine anymore, maybe they can't take a shower, maybe they cannot cook for themselves anymore, this is where we come in again, and we can be there just a few hours a day, or some patients need us there all day long to help them with daily tasks. That's what we do. We have a very impressive adult daycare on premises where elderly just come in and they spend the day. These people, their age, they do fun activities all day long. Every time I go by there, I want to sign up too, but they wouldn't take me. So they just do a lot of stuff. The meals are provided for them, and it's just amazing how the quality of life can change for people that have an ability to go somewhere and enjoy themselves during the day.
So you come pick up the folks, bring them to the adult daycare. They spend the day doing fun activities. Then you take them home?
That's exactly what we do.
Wow, very. And that is covered by insurance?
This is covered through Medicaid.
Okay.
Also, there are some options for private pay as well, but most of the people that we see at our daycare, those are the ones that have Medicaid.
I bet that creates a good sense of community for some of these folks who may live alone or don't have a large social network of friends where they can come in and hang out all day and play checkers or whatever they do. And sounds like good fun. So, and also my neighbor, I know she's elderly, she's getting up in age, and she has someone who's there around the clock. Has someone come over in the morning, spend the day with her, helps her with the daily activities around the house, and then someone comes in the evening and stays with her as well.
This is exactly right. The type of services. This is personal assistance. That's yes. What we call home care.
Right. It's not just nursing services.
Like no.
Whatever, doing the laundry, cooking meals, you know, keeping the house clean, that sort of thing. And I'm convinced that the lady who comes in the morning just likes hanging out with, because my neighbor's wonderful. She's an elderly, and she
it's
can
wonderful.
Tell stories all day long. I love talking to her myself. But that's the type of services that bedside healthcare provides, right?
Yes, this is what we provide on home care side. This is unskilled services versus right. The health side where we have skilled services.
And so talk a little more in detail about that. The skilled services being nursing care, maybe like you said, wound care or...
Physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy.
Okay.
All those services can be provided at home. So patient does not have to leave a house. Some of those patients cannot physically leave their houses. Mm-hmm. They may be bedridden. They might have walkers, wheelchairs, wounds that prevent them from leaving their homes. But they still need help. So this is what MedSite provides. Again, most of it paid through insurance, so people are not out of pocket.
Well, what makes MedSite healthcare different than the others out there? What do you guys do specifically that kind of sets you apart from the competition?
Well, I think mainly we are not a provider that's nationwide. We're just here in Atlanta. We're local. We're more, you know, we have more flexibility because we are a smaller provider. Not many companies out there that provide home health, which is skilled services, can provide also home care. So we can be one-stop shop for a patient or referring person. If you have a patient leaving hospital and they need skilled services, they have a wound, they need physical therapy, then later on we can take care of their personal care assistance as well. Besides that, you've mentioned we have just opened MedSite University, which will allow us to attract better talent. We're going to have nurses that are interested in doing a master's degree in medical administration, and they would work for us, would have better talent, and we'll be the ones educating them and allowing them to get the degree utilizing grant money.
Oh, sounds good. Let's bring you in your coworker here, Mr. Michael Gaudette.
Please.
He is also a marketing liaison for MedSite Healthcare. He spent 20 years in the healthcare services in clinical operations and marketing. The majority of his experience is in outpatient rehab and home health. Mike's current role is focused on marketing MedSite's home health care and home care and adult health services to providers and case managers in the Northeast Metro Atlanta. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good. So is that your primary role, is just growing the healthcare business over there?
That's exactly right. And just to add with the last question you asked Kate, I think one of the big things that sets us apart is we're out dealing with providers. So we're in hospitals, we're in nursing facilities, we're in doctor's offices. And a lot of times providers take Medicare insurance or they might take United Healthcare. Mm-hmm. They have kind of a limited list. And when we go in, we have signed up with almost every insurance company. So when we go to market to a doctor, we say, if you need a patient that has home health, send them to us. We can cover it. So that's a big plus for us and the provider. It makes it a lot easier on their end to find someone to take care of their patients.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So you accept all insurance payments. What part of the metro area, what's like your service area? You said just here in Atlanta, but how far? Do you go outside the perimeter? Or?
Yeah, good question. The home health in Georgia is driven by a certificate of need. So the government determines how many agencies can operate in each county, which is, it's kind of restrictive.
Yeah, why would they do that?
Why? I don't know. So you actually have to either buy a certificate of need if they have one available,
okay,
or you have to buy a company, Matt.
Yeah.
that owns the certificate of need.
Yeah.
So we have certificate of need in Cobb County, Fulton County, DeKalb County, and Gwinnett County. So four big counties in Metro Atlanta.
So anywhere in those counties, right? Yep. So if somebody wanted services in Cherokee County,
Can't do it.
That's dictated by the government?
It is. It's dictated by the government of the state of Georgia. They determine how many, I think it's based on population.
Okay.
They'll look and say, well, based on this population, there's X need. So there might be two certificates
Once
in
again,
a certain
government
county.
Regulating business, though. That's not good. So.
And this is true for home health, which is skilled services. But if there are people that needing personal care assistance at home, on home care side, that can be provided in other counties as well. They don't have a certificate of need for those, right, Mike?
That's right, yeah. Hmm.
That's interesting. And then the adult daycare that you have is just on that one location, but how far can someone come to visit that location? What's this kind of service area for that? And transportation has got to be a big key factor there.
Yeah, that's right. And you mentioned before about the sense of community within that adult day health. Yeah. So the one that we started is at our corporate office in Sandy Springs.
Okay.
And that is actually focused on the Russian community.
Oh, really?
So we found like little niches, and we're just getting ready to open another one that's down in Stone Mountain that's going to be focused on the Nepali population.
Oh, that's interesting. So I didn't know there was a large Nepalese population here in Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, the Clarkston area is one of the most diverse areas in the whole country.
Out there by Decatur, Clarkston, Georgia, right? Yeah, well, that's interesting. So you're going to open up another campus for adults to go and spend the day.
That's right.
You know, because that's not something you hear a lot of. I know community centers maybe provide an afternoon for folks, maybe not all day, every day. I know there's a senior center in Sandy Springs that's kind of open to the public as well. But this is a place that's kind of structured just for certain communities. So that's got to be great for these folks looking for, you know, outreach and community and social networking.
It's amazing.
We're able to reach people that otherwise probably wouldn't be able to continue living on their own. But that they have this place to go to every day and give them meals and take care of them and socialize, it gives them the opportunity to kind of bolster them up a little bit where they can continue to live on their own.
That's great. So let's talk a little more about MedSide University. How long ago did that get started?
Well, this is going to be, we just started.
Okay.
I'm not sure when they got certified. It probably been 6 to 12 months. You have to be accredited, and we are accredited
just
university.
Just within the last year,
yes.
Right?
And basically right now we're in a process of meeting with heads of nursing schools, of universities, and letting them know about, you know, what we have and where they can send their students later on. Because this is amazing. If you want to get a master's and you can get it literally on a grant money, this not being out of pocket a lot, it's an amazing opportunity for many. And of course we get the benefit of having skilled people working for us, providing the services to our patients, to our community.
Well, is there some sort of obligation that if they go to MedSide University that they have to come to work at MedSide Healthcare?
Yes, that's
part
the key.
Of it. Yeah.
Yes, they work for us, they get education.
Okay. So that's good to know that people can continue their education and advance their career all with the same company. And as MedSide grows, they can grow as well. And so what's that program like? How long does it take? You know, what is involvement? Is it, you know, you got to go to campus every day?
Yeah, good question. I think we're entering our first class in August of this year.
Okay.
The accreditation process has been about a year and a half already. Mm-hmm. So we had to get the curriculum in place and get everything developed and jump through the hoops of accreditation. So some of that is still a little bit flexible, but it's going to be partly online and partly classroom work.
Okay.
And it's going to be structured so that there's some nighttime work so that the clinicians who are working for the company can go to work and then handle this on their downtime.
Very good. And how do you see MedSide growing over the next year or two as the university grows? Are you guys, you can't expand unless the state lets you. So, I mean, how are you going to, you know, provide more services for you guys?
I think right now our goal is to just increase market share.
Okay.
So, and it's sort of as a smaller homegrown company, we're competing with some of the national companies. So what we're trying to do is bring in better and more skilled clinicians. Mm-hmm. And then Kate and I are out marketing, trying to bring in more referrals and cement better relationships with the skilled nursing facilities and the hospitals in the area and get more referrals. So it's sort of a double-edged sword. We've got to have the clinicians in place to take care of the patients, and then we've gotten the referrals in place to keep them busy.
Right, because the population is aging.
It is.
And there's going to be more need for some of these services out there, particularly in the home. You know, my mom said to me many times, she said, don't put me in a home. I don't ever want to go to a home. She's going to get some of her friends to move in with her, and then they'll have somebody come and take care of them all together at the house.
That's
like her plan. So, but that's the service you would provide.
And it's the whole premise of home health and home care is to try to less expensively take care of people and keep them living in their own homes.
Right, because retirement communities can be outrageously expensive.
They can.
You know,
yeah.
you know, I've heard stories of folks who had, you know, a little money saved away. They spent a couple years in a retirement home, and then all of a sudden they have nothing. And then not to mention some of the activities that go on there or things behind the scenes are not always a plus for folks. So you got to be careful with that. So so what do you tell folks? How how can they trust MedSide and the services you provide are going to be the best quality services out there?
Well, I think number one is that, you know, we're out dealing with doctor's offices and case managers at the hospitals, and we're the liaison between the company and the clinical part and the provider. Mm-hmm. So we are constantly keeping track of our cases and making sure that everybody is taken care of, mm-hmm. both in the physician's office and on the patient side. So that's a big part of our job, is making sure there's a smooth transition of care between the hospital and getting back to home and getting back to life.
But most importantly, holding yourselves accountable for, you know, providers that are going out there and, you know, your service industry professionals who are doing this work, that they are doing good work, because, you know, people can take advantage of the elderly, unfortunately, and
yeah.
You want to make sure that's not happening with you guys. So that's good to know that you're holding yourselves accountable, you're striving for excellence out there and providing great service to all the folks. So
absolutely. We have a great team of clinicians, and all of our PSA people are certified, and they all go through background checks and okay. other things that are necessary to provide safe environment when we go into somebody's home.
That's good. And how many people do you have out there right now servicing everyone? Do you know?
Well, currently in the four counties between home care and home health, we see about 700 patients a day.
700 a day.
Yeah, we are a mid-sized firm. We're not a small company. MedSide has over 500 employees, and they are not a small company anymore.
No, 500 employees, and you're servicing 700 people a day out there, and that's 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I would imagine.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
This is real-life quality control.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You got a big footprint out there in the Atlanta community, so... that's good. So let's bring Matt back into the conversation here. You know, he's the one who, you know, provides those business brokering services for folks. And some of these businesses you have going that are for the elderly or the aging or the people who need care, what would those be?
Well, it's interesting. After hearing them talk a little bit, I just started making a short little list of all the businesses that touch their business as well. So when people want to possibly get into a business that's going to be involved with this booming population of seniors, everything from transportation for seniors, adult mm-hmm. daycare centers, assisted living facilities, the medical devices, medical equipment, the yeah. senior financial planning. I mean, the list just goes on. Physical therapy, speech therapy, uniform companies, uniform for some of the staff. I mean, it just goes on and on. And so just because of the demographic shift of the country, the demographic, that shift also changes the opportunity for a lot of businesses.
Yeah, medical supplies, I imagine, is one that a lot of folks could get into and just transition. It's kind of an ongoing thing. There's all kinds of innovative technologies that are coming into that marketplace. So certainly that would play back into you and what MedSide does.
Absolutely. We as marketers for MedSide often have to deal with providers of medical equipment, because people that are living hospitals, a lot of times they would need wheelchairs and walkers and things of that nature.
That's right. And so one of the things that was interesting, they mentioned the certificate of need. That inflames a lot of pro-business people that were typically kind of pro-competition in Georgia.
Yeah.
Because as pro-business, the legislature is in Georgia, because typically they're known as pretty pro-business state, there's still requirements where you cannot just open up medical facilities on the whim and have pure competition. If you decide you want to build a hospital today because you think you can do a better job and you've got $1 billion to spend and you want to build one, you can't do it.
No, it's regulated by the state.
Yeah, so you're not allowed to make that business choice. And mm-hmm. so that's very frustrating for some businesses in the healthcare arena. I mean, there are arguments pro and con, but just from pure keep regulation out of business standpoint, yeah. is very frustrating.
Now, I imagine it can be, but on some level, I can see, like you said, the pros and cons for it, because we don't want just somebody opening up an adult daycare facility and not doing good work and doing a disservice to the community.
Well, that's right. And over time, you know, competition will take hold. and the quality of service will decide whether or not these people stay in business. And that's it is difficult when you're dealing with healthcare because it's not just like the I didn't like the taste of that
right.
person's
people's
pizza.
Lives are at stake.
That's right. It's somebody's lives at stake. So there's a center ground. Also, you have a lot of nonprofit hospitals in Georgia. A lot of the big hospitals are nonprofit, and they would say that bringing in pure competition like that from a business standpoint might make it difficult for them to be. To remain in business, which could impact the healthcare of the state.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And who are some of those companies you guys partner with to provide those transportation or services for medical? You guys do all that in-house?
No, well, we do have some transportation, kind of a division that we shuttle people back and forth to our adult day health, but we have outsourced durable medical equipment, so wheelchairs, walkers, things of that nature. So if any of the patients that are referred to us need those services, then we have a kind of ancillary companies that we work with.
We can also work with other providers like hospice, rehabilitation centers, and everything in between from just providing help at home to durable medical equipment.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest challenges you guys experience out there for providing the MedSite experience?
Well, I think the industry, I mean, the main issue in the industry, I think that it's insurance regulated, really.
Yeah.
We cannot help people that we, you know, if we're not in network to a certain insurance that then we cannot provide services.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain insurances out there that do not take additional providers. They may have one or two and they don't work with others. We are taking on pretty much every insurance that would take us where our competition usually tries to pick and choose the providers that actually pay well. We are trying to provide services to everybody, but we need insurance company to take us on board.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is one of the biggest challenging for us, as well as referring sources, as well as patients, because if they have an insurance that nobody will take, then they may be stuck for a week or two until they can find at least this one provider that can help them out. Of course, communication. A lot of times we all need paperwork that needs to be signed by a physician or a nurse or somebody else. And we cannot go into home or provide additional services if we don't have documentations. I feel like we deal with that a lot, right, Mike?
We do. That's an issue. And we also, you know, the certificate of need issue is that we have a certificate of need for Gwinnett County. But outlying areas like Loganville, that is split, so it's half Gwinnett and half, I think, Winder or Barrow County.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've got doctors in the area and the patient lives just over the line on the other side of the street, I can't take them.
So
the need is there, and we're there. Our clinicians are on the other side of the street. Can't they just cross the street? We can't do it. So that's a big challenge for us in the outlying areas as well.
That should be a question for legislators. And why are they just drawing a hard line like that when the community is not separated by map, you know, or street? You know, people cross streets and, you know, communities all the time. And so hopefully the people in the State House would take a closer look at that and make it better for business and for care for people, because that's what it's ultimately about. It's about the people and getting them the services they need. And
that's right. Right. Sounds like another show.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
And of course, as a growing company, and MedSite grew significantly, especially in the last couple of years, there's always need for skilled people. We're always looking for physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, nurses, those that are willing to go into homes and work in home health and home care and provide services to people that cannot leave their houses. So this is a constant battle of trying to find good people that can do this job.
Yeah. So if you're someone out there who is interested in getting into this field of work, please do reach out to MedSite.
Absolutely.
And see if they are a speech pathologist and you can't find work right now because it's a tight niche kind of industry. You guys need help over there, right?
We do.
And that's a great example of when you're going to sell a company or buy a company, making sure that those quality employees are there and they feel comfortable, because having a great company like theirs, who could ever possibly buy MedSite Home Health in 5 or 10 or 20 years if they thought the people weren't going to come with it? Because the people are the face of the company, and they're the ones that every day are out there actually taking care of, you know, our parents and our grandparents and things like that. So understanding that corporate culture
Yeah.
And then and how in tune those employees are to their company is really important to making sure those businesses survive in the long term.
Yeah, keeping the good quality employees on staff, but also cultivating new and experienced you know, employees that can help further the cause and further the good work that you're doing there. I want to know about veterans. I'm a veteran myself. I served time in the U.S. Army, and you know, as that population grows, is that can you provide care to the veterans, or do they have to go down here to the clinic over here?
Well, Michael needs to talk about that because Michael.
We actually have a contract with the VA. So, and there are a lot of home health agencies and home care agencies in the metro area that do have a contract. Mm-hmm. But we've grown it over the past 6 months. So when patients go to the VA hospital or if they go to the clinic down there and they go out to, you know, Lawrenceville or East Cobb or wherever they live, they'll contact us and send a referral our way so that we go out and take care of the veteran. And they're real specific about they monitor the veterans' care extremely well. And so they'll send us the referral and tell us, you know, what the patient needs, and we'll go out and take care of that.
That's anyway. Good, because we know with the VA there's so much red tape, not only on the state level but the federal level. And, you know, we want to make sure those veterans are getting the help they need, whether it be, you know, on-site at their own home or, you know, getting some rehabilitation services, whatever they may need. We want to make sure we're taking care of those communities.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
So we're hoping that they outsource those to local businesses in the Georgia area so that those people, because we know competition many times breeds better services.
Absolutely.
So since it's been apparent that sometimes the VA hasn't run as efficiently as it needs to for our servicemen mm-hmm. and women, that they'll start turning the reins over of some of those really special services to our local businesses that can do it well. And if they don't do it well, they get fired, as it should be, right?
No, no doubt about it. And, you know, I know personally from going down here to the VA hospital, it can be just a nightmare trying to get around that place, finding your appointment, waiting months at a time to get an appointment, and how, you know, it would just be so easy if someone could just come out to your home and take care of you there, and, you know, just, you know, limit all that, you know, madness down there sometimes. So so that's good. So folks can reach out to you if they're a veteran, or no matter what insurance, you know, provider they may have, you guys have it all covered. So that's good to know. Is there anything you don't do?
Seems like it.
They don't wash windows. Don't get into that business. I just want to remind our listeners, you listen to Georgia Business Radio, the home of unabashedly pro-business platform for businesses throughout Georgia, obviously here in Atlanta as well. And a couple of follow-up questions. Ritz Casanova here, reminding our listeners who we're talking with, and like you said at the top of the show, there's an interesting cross conversation here going on. But for what I like about the what y'all provide at MedSide is the continuity in services, right? So I guess that's kind of unique. Maybe some other folks would do that, but it seems like you got to go to one service to provide home care and another one for home health care, right? And so if you have a parent or a family member and they need one of those services, eventually they're going to probably need the other, and now you got to start the process all over again.
You're absolutely right.
And searching and then it kind of can potentially kind of confuse that person as well, like who's coming or going, right?
Yes, that's a problem for a lot of people at home because they have multiple providers.
Yeah.
Providers can change throughout the services sometimes for them. Caregivers can change. So the less, you know, if they have less companies doing the services at home, then this is definitely minimizes all the confusion and
right.
discomfort of having a new person in a home because it's not comfortable for some.
Well, that and then because, you know, there will be different people coming in from your company, but the continuity from the provider as well or the person responsible for that is that the other family member. Is that now the billing changes and the you know, invoicing and then the insurance, you got to reapply all that stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it helps from our perspective dealing with the providers too,
right.
The hospitals and case managers. They know that we do everything.
Right.
So they can just pick up the phone and say, hey, can you cover this? Can you cover that? We can do it.
Yeah, because maybe they needed this service for last year, but now they need additional services. They don't have to start the process
right.
all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt, I had a question for you. I'm not sure. I was doing social media and not distracted. I was listening in, and I don't believe in multitasking. So correct me if you already answered this question here. But on are there certain types of major businesses that you work with? Is in your sweet spot or your wheelhouse that you kind of find industries or business sectors?
I have by default just worked on a lot of IT deals.
Okay.
But mostly I just like to say, yeah, I'm an expert at profitable businesses.
All right, nice.
Those are the easiest ones to sell.
Right.
That's
right.
Good.
From $1 million to $50 million, Matt is your man.
That's right.
So, Very good. Well, any final thoughts, Michael, that you want to share about MedSide or anything else we didn't get to that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think the biggest thing from our perspective is the difference. People even in our industry don't understand the difference between healthcare and home health. So hopefully we've gotten that across here today. You know, the home health is the skilled part, and the healthcare is the unskilled part. You need somebody to help you out around the house. Mm-hmm. And like Kate's mentioned too, we do everything. So we're kind of a one-stop shop, and we can provide both services. We can provide most insurances, and the population's aging, and as it ages, we've seen a tremendous growth just in the past 4 or 5 years. And we know there's a need out there, and we're going to be there to fill it.
Yeah, this need's not going away.
It's not.
And the more quality service you can provide, you can help more and more people along the way. So please reach out to them at MedSide.com. Is there any other additional phone number or way they can get in touch with you?
Well, you can email Kate or I directly, kate@MedSide.com or mike@MedSide.com. Mm-hmm.
But also the main number is 404-633-7430. Mm-hmm. But the best way is to, of course, go online, read about us. You can check medicare.gov and see that our rehospitalization rate is really low. So if people are really concerned about quality, they can see that our patients do not go back to the hospitals a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know home health care, whether it may be for adults or people with needs, it's growing. Had a guy the other day, they came out and did a physical at the office for his life insurance policy. You know, they just came right out and did all the blood tests, the other types of tests right there in the office as opposed to going down there. So all this mm-hmm. personal care, I think, is coming back around the way it used to be in the old days, you know, where the doctor would come out with right, the bag right. and visit you.
Yes.
You know, then everybody was getting pushed to the hospitals. Now it's kind of coming back around. So very similar to what y'all are doing. You're providing a specific need for individuals that need help and a good business. So keep up the good work at MedSide. And we look to hear more about you in the future, and hopefully we can have you back on another show.
Thank you.
All right, my pleasure. And Matt, how can folks find you, or any final thoughts about the business brokering services you provide?
Well, Ryan, I would just say that a lot of business owners would benefit from just a free conversation, sometimes many, many years before they even think about selling their company, and say, this is what I've created, this is how many employees we have, this is what our financial picture is, and what do you think my options are for a sale in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, and having just some forward thoughts about that could probably steer people into driving their companies in even better directions mm-hmm. and would make them their companies a lot more valuable and make the sale process a lot easier.
And how can folks find you again?
They can just call me directly at 404-486-0350. Or they can find me on the web at mattslappy, S-L-A-P-P-E-Y, -murphy.com.
All right. Keep up the good work and go for business 2015 in the top 10% nationally ranked once again. Matt Slappy, thank you for joining us. And Rich, what do you think? Another good show?
Unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
I'm ready to sell the business, whatever, yeah.
Well, Matt is here. Yeah, right, you can exactly. take care of that.
As long as it has windows to wash. Right,
exactly, yeah. Good thing we didn't get an interior office, whatever, yeah.
Very good. Well, tune in again next week, Friday at 11 a.m. on Georgia Business Radio. On behalf of the entire Business Radio X family, I am Ryan McPherson, and we will see you on the radio.